so reminded of the parable of the sower. Every time we meet, Father, it is that parable that you spoke of, how we take the seed of your word. Please let none of us fall victim where it falls on the wayside, or into stony hearts, or into hearts that just believe for a season and go off. Let the seed of your word not only go through the mind, but into the heart where it's nourished, it's planted, and it bears fruit. Lord, I pray this now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, today, as we're in the Lord's presence, and we're going to share communion later, I want to speak on faith today. Because as we know, without faith, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. And so today I'm calling this teaching, Are We Doubting the Promises? Are we doubting the promises? And God knows where we are with regard to the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Because to make it into the kingdom of God, we have to stand and believe and embrace God's promises. And there are many, many of them. And today we're going to discuss and talk about this. And if you find that there are areas of doubt where you're doubting, well then, we're at the right place and we're listening to the right message. Because God wants to deal with those doubts. He wants us to come into the blessing of what faith is about. Because faith is a rest. And unless you are experiencing that rest by faith, then the promises that we talk about, that we embrace, the word that we are here week after week, twice a week, isn't really going to do its job. Because unless there is a rest by faith, unless you are in the right pastures, unless you are right with God, walking in covenant, in fellowship with Him, then the word isn't going to really do its job as it should. And this is why many can hear the word and embrace it maybe for a season, but don't carry on. So, are we doubting the promises? And one of the clear signs is, are we waxing bolder and stronger in the faith with regard to the promises? They're one of the clear signs. We may have heard the promises spoken, preached, talked about many times. But on a man or woman of God who's embracing these promises and standing by the promises of God will never grow tired of them. But will always see that what they're hearing, what is being taught to them, is to cause me to wax stronger in the faith. And all the while that I have faith taught to me, and such messages like this as, are we doubting the promises of God? It simply means that God is still working with me. And so the end result of the word should be that I am stronger today than I was yesterday with regards to having heard this message. Because it's important that we always hear it positively, that we embrace it by faith. Now, we know that our faith is all about our belief, and what we believe is about confession. You see, you can't confess the word of God if you don't believe. And if you don't believe, you can't confess. That is making a confession that lines up with God's word. There are many confessions. There are many who confess but also confess the wrong thing. And sadly, many Christians at times can be confessing the wrong thing. That is why it is important that our confession lines up with the promises of God's word. Now, of course, I'm going to base this from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 23, which you know very well. And I want to just read this through from verses 19 to 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, which says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let's just remind ourselves very quickly that Israel, the children of Israel, under the Mosaic law, under Moses' ministry, couldn't enter into God's presence that way, like you and I can today. So look what Christ has done for us.
Yes.
That we enter now in a new way into God's presence. That's why we have a boldness. And part of that boldness of entering into God's presence is that you are embracing the promises of God. You're waxing bold by faith. And so with that, he says, let us hold fast, verse 23, the confession of our hope or without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. So there we are. We hold fast to what Christ has done, causing us now to enter into a new way. Now that is the veil, which is his flesh, his body. We now enter into Christ, that union. And so he says, let us hold fast then to our confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So our entering together, like this meeting today, means that we stir one another up, we encourage one another in the faith, so that we enter in this new way. And he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So our waxing bold, coming boldly into the presence of God, is to do with fellowship, unity, oneness. It is all part of it. And the reason that we are seeing so many Christians who do not really have this boldness, who are waxing bold in the faith, is because they do not have this true fellowship, this true koinonia with brothers and sisters, and through the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, our doubts that we all at times have, and have had, and probably will have, are often dealt with regard to our walk of faith and our fellowship and our coming together. Today, now, is a prime example of God quenching, dealing, dispelling doubts. It is not enough just on your own, walking and overcoming, like a lot of Christians do, trying to overcome their unbelief, trying to overcome their doubts. It's not enough. It also requires the body of Christ, our assembling together, our fellowship, the anointed word which is preached by the anointing of the Spirit. God setting in the gifts into the body of Christ. That too is imperative in dealing with unbelief and when we doubt sometimes. I've already just read it to you in Hebrews. Let's look at also verses 35 to 39 of Hebrews chapter 10. It goes on there, verses 35 to 39, which says that, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, he says those who draw back to perdition, it means back to judgment or possibility destruction, because that's what it means. It means those who once walked, who once embraced, who've now compromised or gone back, they go back in judgment. And it often, praise God, is a judgment in this world. And the mercy of God, and this is why we pray for those that go back, because if need be, if their soul will be saved, it means that God has to judge them in the flesh, that their soul will be saved. And that's what often happens, those that go back into perdition. You see, God is merciful. Some are saved as by fire. But why go to those lengths? Why make it into the skin of your teeth? God wants us to make it in as overcomers with rewards, with a confidence, a boldness, which he's already spoken of there. Amen. Hallelujah. No. He says, don't cast away your confidence, your faith in other words, which has great reward. Yes, you may be going through a trial. Yes, it may seem that the trial has brought you virtually to the end of yourself. It's like, I just cannot take any more. But he says, don't cast it away. Why? Because it has great reward. And he says, you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The promises of God's word. What you read, what you embrace, what you believe, what you confess. He says that endurance, staying with it, yes, through trials, you will receive. Because God is faithful. Amen. That is one of his names. Faithfulness.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and verse 11. And here it speaks about Sarah. Sarah who believed God. We often say, oh, Abraham believed God, which he did, but also Sarah believed as well. And sometimes she's left out. Because yes, the promise was made to Abraham, but she had to be the bearer and bring the child into the world. And what does he say here? He says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. So it says that she received strength, which of course was impossible in her old age. Couldn't be. But the reason that she had received that strength, that anointing from God Almighty to conceive, was, it says later in that verse, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So, she too, her faith was important as well. And we know the word that is used is judged him faithful. Or maybe in the authorized you might have where she counted him faithful. And this is God working in delays. And so often God delays the promises because he's using that to persuade us And so he used that 25 years for both of them, but particularly for Sarah. By the end of that time, she had strength physically to be able to conceive and bear a child, but she was persuaded in that delay of faith. And in that time, she judged it as faithful. That is actually what it means. It means that in the delays, she judged God faithful. Did you know that God will let you judge him? Oh yes. It's a judgment in the sense of, I am persuaded. And nothing can change that. And I've judged that. And God is faithful. And nobody can tell me different. That is my judgment. That is my decision that I have chosen to take. There's the free will. That's what she did. And that is how faith has to work. Yes, faith comes by hearing the word of God. But that hearing has to do something with you and I in which to become persuaded, to be able to judge that, that God is faithful and nothing can change my mind. I have settled it. And that is the faith that God is working to get us, brothers and sisters, those in this assembly, those who come into the room to listen, that is the faith he's working in all of us. To be absolutely persuaded by the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Whether your trial and your test is a physical one, whether it's an emotional one, whether it's problems with the family, you name it, whatever the trials, God's working, and the delay of healing manifestation hasn't come yet because he's still working where he wants you to judge him, which you've not yet done. And you can't judge until you have the facts. A judge has to have all the facts presented, and at the end, when he has heard the whole case and all the facts and everything, he then will give judgment on his decision, what he sees, and his experience. Isn't that wonderful how God gives us a free will in which to even do that? And that is what he's doing. That is what he's doing with each one of us. Whether it be in your trials, whether it's in your weaknesses, whatever. So that you come to that place, you are persuaded, you counting upon him, you have judged him to be faithful, who has promised. And that's why she was able to conceive, which was impossible in the natural. Because God is a miracle working God. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, God often works this assurance through these trials and these tests. And this is why often promises are fulfilled through delays. You see, human nature wants it now. After all, who wants pain? Who wants their heart broke? Who wants to go through confusion, mental anguish, what the world goes through, what all of us have gone through in certain ways, whatever? We don't. We're like the children of Israel. We want to find a way of escape. But there is no way of escape. Because if you're truly saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, God's brought you out into the wilderness, spiritually speaking. Because that's where he deals with us. That's where you find him. That's where he preserves and keeps us. So your wilderness experience, your sojourning through this world into eternity, are the very right conditions where God works in and through us to persuade us, to influence us, so that we can settle it by judgment. And our judgment is, He is faithful. Amen. I can't deny it. And you can't go against your conscience, what you know is to be true. I also will add again, as I'm always saying, that your trials that you go through in which to make it into the kingdom of God is where you experience God. It's actually where you touch Him spiritually. It is that knowing that the promises of God are true, are valid. And I can stand, I can place my life upon all these promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But you have to go through the delays. You see, you have to have God work with you, the experience. You see, faith is not simply words. Faith isn't just confession, it is also experience. And the experience is the receiving of the promise. We know that Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But this word that we hold, and with all the promises from cover to cover, are more real than what we see and feel and touch around us. What you feel, what you touch, what you see around you is all passing away. But the word of God that you hold in your hand and all those promises are eternal. So every promise that you are confessing, you believe on, is eternal. Will never die. Will never be destroyed. God's love can never be destroyed. God's working in you to bring you into glory can never be destroyed. God's promises over you that by His stripes you were healed at Calvary can never be destroyed. And it just goes on. God's promises where He says, I will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, can never be destroyed. It's an eternal principle. And we must hold on to that. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what we see. What is going on around us. We stand upon in an eternal principle of the Word of God. I remember, I know I've said this before, but once I was going through a real, real trial, and my faith was failing, and I just found myself one day, I put the Word of God down on the floor, and I stood on it. Now to some, that's disrespectful, but God knows my heart. I just said to the devil, I said, you're a liar, and I said, my feet that are standing now is upon God's eternal word. And that is where my feet are. I just had to do it. Just had to do it. God knows. God knows the heart. Sometimes in trials, the most bizarre things can expose. And sometimes you can do. But at the end of the day, God knows the heart. He knows the motive. And so you have to have God's word with that experience. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 5 verses 1 to 9? Hebrews chapter 5 verses 1 to 9. Hallelujah. And here it says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men to things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weaknesses. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." So God said, "This day you are my son after the flesh." A new resurrection in the flesh, that is, you are my son. Now he always was the son, always will be. But divesting himself, he took upon human nature, he took upon flesh. And after that, God said, "I now have a new order. And from that, I will raise a new creation. Redeem from the flesh." That's what it means. And it says then in verse 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, he was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." What is it telling us here? Jesus himself in the flesh had to learn by trials, tests, delays, the very same thing. But it says that God perfected. He perfected him. He perfected his faith. He perfected the area of the flesh side so that he could be that complete, total, perfect sacrifice accepted before a holy God, his Father. And it's the same type of work that God is doing with us. He is perfecting us for his presence. And to do that, he still leaves us in this world, in this life. We all of us at times, particularly in our trials, we say, "Lord, please just take me home. I want to come home to glory. I've had enough of this world. I've had enough of the buffetings. I've had enough of the temptations. You name it, I've had enough." But you see, God still keeps us there, doesn't he? You might have had enough, but God says, "I haven't seen you had enough yet, really. Because I'm still perfecting you. I'm working with your faith." Why? So that you don't doubt my promises. The day you get up, and the day you are free from doubting my promises, and you have judged me faithful, is the day I shall rapture the church and take her home into glory. And he's working it. He's working it, brothers and sisters. And that is why to obey him, you've got to judge him faithful. That is the only way you will obey. We're too rebellious otherwise. But God knows how to work in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. And you will obey your heavenly Father because you have judged him faithful. The same as Sarah had judged her maker and creator faithful, and she had willingly judged him and surrendered and said, "Yes, I will bear the promise." And she did. Similar to Mary, who submitted to God to conceive and have Messiah. Similar situation. She had judged him faithful. And we know the story of that, where they had to flee for their lives, because the powers of darkness were out to try and destroy what God had put into her womb. And so it's the same with us. When God places those promises, the seed of his promise, into our hearts, the next thing you find yourself is, you're in an attack, a trial. Every promise that God places into our heart, that seed of promise, the enemy's there trying to snatch and take it away and destroy it. That's why the parable of the sower is one of the greatest parables Jesus ever gave. Because it's fulfilled every day. The enemy knows when God places his heavenly seed of promise into our hearts. And he's doing it right now. He's doing it right now through this word. Placing his promises, his assurance into you so you can judge him faithful. But I'm also equally aware the devil's right there to try and snatch it away. Hath God said? His tactics are exactly the same. He tried it with Adam and Eve. He still tries it today. He doesn't change. And so, I think facing this new year, and if the Lord tarries, we still doubt him. Because the way we live and act proves it. You will know if you're believing or not believing, because the way you're acting, the way you're confessing and what you're doing gives it away. You don't have to run often to an elder or pastor. Your conscience will tell you. The Holy Spirit will tell you. And so, if God tarries this year, then he tarries because in his mercy and grace, he is still dealing with those doubts. He doesn't want us doubting the promises. You see, very often God wants us to judge him faithful when visibly you don't see anything. He wants you to judge him faithful, but you've not yet received your healing yet, or those finances that you need, or the salvation of your rebellious son, or whatever it would be. You see, it would be easy to judge him faithful. Oh, well, I can see it there. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you are. Oh, you're so faithful. So faithful. And we've said it, haven't we? When the manifestation comes, we're all excited and happy. Lord, you're so faithful. Father, you love me. You know, why was it I doubted you? But you're not judging him. That isn't judging him there. That's praising and thanking him. He wants you to do it before visibly you have received it. That's what Hebrews 11:1 is about. And that's what sorts out the men from the boys. And the only way you will ever achieve that and do that for God's glory is to stay with it and endure. Because God's got it under control. He's got all your trials, all your tests, everything the devil's throwing at you. Remember, it would not happen unless God permits it for his glory. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, his riches in glory. All things. Whatever you're going through, no matter how small, no matter how serious, no matter how embarrassing, no matter, all things work together for good. God uses the powers of darkness to turn it together for good. And when he's dealt with it for his glory, then he judges it. God is totally, completely sovereign. Hallelujah. And so, that is the conditions we find ourselves in, you see. And so you have to decide, because either way, it isn't going to change. We have to decide. You can say, well, I've had enough now, and whatever it is, but you're still going to have trials. To think that you can go away and have no more trials is crazy. To think that the grass is green on the other side, which a lot think, tend to think it is crazy. So why not go through trials, which is the part of life, and know that your trials are working together for good in you for the glory of God. and that you've come to that place of counting him or judging him faithful who promise. Because either way, it's trials. Do you know of anyone in this world who lives a trial-free life? Do you know of anyone? I don't. Why, even the Queen doesn't. So there you are. So what do we have to lose, brothers and sisters? We have everything to gain. If God before us, who can be against us? So are we doubting the promises? That is the question. That's what we have been talking about this morning. And for those who are honest before the Lord, you'll have to come clean. Yes, Lord, there's still doubt working. And I'm the moment what is exposed, what it's saying is, I haven't yet counted, judged you yet faithful. Forgive me, Lord, I haven't yet been influenced as I should be. And you're doing it, you're not the problem, I'm the problem. I'm not seeing it, I'm not hearing it as I should. But one day in your love and mercy and grace, you will perfect that in me. And that I will come for your glory to that place where I will judge you faithful. And that will settle it. Will it? Can you believe that? I believe in you. Amen. Then we're at the right place, at the right time. Hallelujah. Father, thank you today. Thank you for speaking again into our lives. We all have our name and address on this. But Lord, you are so faithful. You love us so much. Lord, you speak nothing but love. It's a love message every week, Lord. Yes, it might chasten us, but what does that matter? It's a sign that you love us and that you want us to make it in. Father, forgive us that we still doubt you. But we know the Holy Spirit has come, baptizing us, come as a teacher, to work that within us, and he will. Help us not to resist, Father. Lead and guide us, we ask, by your Holy Spirit. Father, we all of us want to believe and to know that rest that comes by believing. And not to doubt you, Father, but that whatever you've said, whatever we read in your word, whatever we hear through the teaching, we can embrace it and say yes and amen. Father, you want us to walk independent of the world and trusting the world and the arm of the flesh. You want to deliver us from that so that we are a people completely preserved and kept by you and your glory. Lord, you will do it. We know that. And so, Father, we